Part 2 of the morning class given by His Holiness Varsana Swami on 17th March 2022, Gaurav Purnima, New Vrindavan.
More to Srila Prabhupada than just to Vakaranga. He wove a garland strung of holy names of Krishna praying, which encircled all the world. So this is New Year's Day for the Gaudiyas. The time for resolutions. How we will serve Srila Prabhupada and get serious about the gift of Lord Chaitanya. So that ourselves and others don't have to wait 8,648,000,000 years for the next opportunity. Thank you very much. Shri Gaur Pranim Ki Jai, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai, Shri Gaur Pranim. Are there any questions or comments?
Marta, thank you so much. That was an extremely brilliant expose of the process for attaining the Dhamma. I really appreciate that. The extraordinary feature of our recent memory compared to the other incarnations of Lord Gauranga and other Kali Yugas. Can you just enlighten us again on the difference between those Gaurangas and this Gauranga? I mean, what do the other Gaurangas do? Same Leela.
You know, it's not mentioned in any of the existing scriptures. You know why? Because when Krishna comes in the mood of Radha, in the 28th Divya of the 7th Manvantara, that is such front page news that it fills up all the shastras. It doesn't leave any pages for the other 999 out of 1,000 Kali Yugas when he comes as an avatar through the medium of Giridaksha Vishnu. To establish Yuga Dharma by the chanting of the name. It would be something like today. What's an analogy? Who's our president? Biden? See, president. Say, President Biden.
Yes. No. Yes.
Say, and then say, President Biden. And Mr. Putin and whoever's leading North Korea, what's his name? Robert White. Whatever. Consider if these three personalities shaved up, moved into the Brahmacharya ashram, went out on Sankirtan every day. That wouldn't all fit on front page news. He would fill the whole newspaper. That's a crude analogy, but it's something like comparable to where's the news of the other 999 out of 1,000 golden avatars in every other Kali Yuga within a day of Brahma? When that front page news fills the whole shastras, it just drops off the map. The other way to look at it is, yeah, that's all included. When the Lord comes as He is, Krishna in the mood of Radha, the work of the Yuga Dharma is performed as a natural consequence. There's no need for Yuga Avatar. Because the functions of the Yuga Avatars, and the Leela Avatars, and the Guna Avatars is all contained when the Avatar He comes Himself. It's all fulfilled with so much more. The other way to consider that is compare the descriptions of the Kali Yuga as given in 10th canto, no, the 11th canto and the 12th canto. Why did Bhagavatam have to repeat the symptoms of Kali Yuga in the 12th canto? When already established in the 11th canto. Is that redundant? Just repeats the same thing over again in the next canto? The symptoms are the same. Conclusions are opposite. 12th canto, Shukadeva Goswami is explaining to Maharaj Pariksit the nature of Kali Yuga. In 999 out of their 1,000 successions. And the conclusion is, it's the worst of all ages, because you'll hardly find devotees anywhere. What he's saying there has already been stated in the 11th canto, the same symptoms, with a very different conclusion. There'll be devotees everywhere. Not only now, but sages, and devas of other planetary systems are waiting in line to take birth in this movement. That does not apply in the other 999. This is unique to this one. So to say it's a Kali Yuga is an understatement. Because within the Kali Yuga, there's a Prem Yuga. That golden age. And it'll last 10,000 years through Srila Prabhupada's influence and books. So every Kali Yuga, there's a golden avatar who gives the Yuga Dharma in the chanting of the Holy Name, by which sincere souls who follow that by Vaidhi Bhakti perfectly can attain Vaikuntha. But that's just old news compared to the fact that in this particular Kali Yuga, Lord Gauranga has come in the Buddha Radha to give the Vaidhi, which has Raghavan against his heart. And as we serve Lord Gauranga through Nam Sankirtan, that Radha is taking shape and strength within our hearts. Until that day, that blessed day in which Prabhupada Saraswati sings, then service to Granitai has been so complete that the devotee's feet of Srimati Radharani dawn in our hearts to dispel all darkness and reveal the path to Vrindavan. That day is today.
Thank you. A wonderful answer. But I did have one other question from your talk that was kind of astounding or unique perspective when you were talking about the queens of Dwarka not being considered in the conjugal vows, although stated by Srila Prabhupada many times throughout his books. That is a form of conjugal vows. I think when you, I think you were saying that their mood was one of servitude, but I'm not really sure how your position, your statement.
The other way to explain that is from the perspective of Rajaras. There's only two vows in the rest of creation. Now there is a kind of Vaikuntha Prema. In which you can say, okay, well, you know, Krishna has his friends, Buddha, parents, Devaki, and Vasudev, and his lovers, his queens. So there's the semblance of those rasas in Vaikuntha Prem, but it's very different from Braj Prem. And the difference is so vast that through the lens of Braj Prem, the queens are serving Dasi. And Lord Nityananda is very astute. You know, when Lord Gauranga left this world, Lord Nityananda just became like inert. He was living for the day. He would receive the news. The Jiva Goswami has come to not between them because Lord Chaitanya told Lord Nityananda, you have to take him on parikrama through that parikrama, all the truths of Lord Gaurang will be revealed. So when he heard that news, he asked Stephen. Because Stephen goes, Swami, he saw Lord Gaurang. That Rama Kali, when he came for Rupa Sanatana, was a baby. But he took that form into his heart, but he was too young. So he, and Lord Gaurang gave him instructions. You'll study Shastra and Chandra. And then you'll learn from Madhusuddhana Vachaspati, who externally acts like a standard Vedantist, but through the sutras of Vedanta, he's revealing to his audience the secrets of Gauranga. So study under him. And when you complete those studies, go to Navadvipa. So when Lord Nityananda heard that Jiva's come, he came back to his normal self. And then he met Jiva Goswami, he's a very emotional woman. First to Prashanna, Mother Sachi's house, Mother Sachi's cooking, he's serving. Bamsipadan is telling pastimes, and Jiva Goswami can't believe this has happened to me. And then he started on the parikrama. The Lord Nityananda, to give him proper orientation to be the Navadvipa Dham, he said that the supreme abode, Krishna Loka, exists in two dynamics of emotion, where sweetness and beauty and charm prevails. That is Vrindavan, where munificence prevails. That is Navadvipa. Each is contained in the other. Odarya, munificence, is contained fully in Madhurya. Sweetness, beauty, charm. And that Madhurya is contained fully in Odarya, munificence. It's just a different emphasis. And the beauty, sweetness, and charm predominates that branch. That's the gift. The munificence prevails in the giver. That's not what he does. And then he said that Mahaprabhu, when we address the Lord as Mahaprabhu, who served only in Shakta and Dasaras, there is nothing more. And Srila Prabhupada, he echoes that same thing in CC and that good devotion. There's only those two mellows, Shakta and Dasa, in Vaikuntha. In the mortal realm. The Sakya, the Sami, and the Durya are characteristic of brothers. It's not that this world, when it's manifest in this world in the heart of some fortunate soul, is by Krishna's design and Yogamaya's arrangement. This divine spell that I am reborn of Krishna. Or as Krishna is reflecting in his own words recorded in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna is thinking and reflecting on his brother's Leela. All the world worships me in awe and veneration. But that doesn't so much please me as when a cowherd friend tells me, what kind of big man are you? You and I are equal. That, of course, is Sri Rama. And Sri Rama, he does not cooperate with Krishna boasting about what a good wrestler he is. You know, Krishna boasts how good he is. And Sri Rama, he takes him to task. Krishna, I heard from my little sister that she won a wrestling match with you. Who's Sri Rama's little sister? Sri Rama, and Krishna. He just has to accept defeat. And he loves it. So Krishna's thinking, that pleases me. When a cowherd boy climbs on my shoulders, because Krishna's reluctant, because he won't accept that he lost the wrestling match. So Sri Rama, for no one pujari will go on the altar and climb on the shoulders of the deity. This is unthinkable in Vaidhi Bhakti. But Krishna's thinking, that pleases me. And when my sulky, when my beloved consort reproaches me in a sulky mood, that steals my mind from the reverential hands of the Vedas. That's not the dwarf master. Anyway, back to Jiva Goswami, Vaidyatananda. The Lord we worship as Mahaprabhu is served only in Shanta, which we hardly would consider in Dasyavas, master servant. It is only when the Raghunuga inherent to the heart of that special Vaidyabhat given by Lord Gauranga through the six Goswamis. So as that takes shape within your heart, that by Krishna's design and Yogamaya's arrangement, and we're talking about something that's so exalted now, we have to be careful, because there exists something very disgraceful called sahajas, which Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati had to fight, Bhaktivinoda also fight valiantly. So much of their life energy went into erasing the effects of these sahajas who had disgraced the good name of Lord Ram. And they still do. And that's why Srila Prabhupada becomes so animated on the topic of, I mean, I have it right here. What godbrother asked Srila Prabhupada, Siddhadeha. You can see at times like that that Srila Prabhupada is answering the heart more than the question. And he became very aggravated. This is Sahaja. You are full of so many bad qualities and you speak of Siddhadeha. This is Sahaja. Then we have it. We have an episode in ISKCON. What? Sannyasi. One day he's walking around like this. See, Andy Maharaj. You alright? Yeah, I'm fine. I'm a devotee. I got my siddhanta. In my perfected state, I'm a peacock. Krishna Leela. He's walking around like this. And that's an example of how bhakti, or no, what do they call it? Bhakti, call it service. Chaitanya Charitamrita says, even if very sincere, even with the best intention, without the proper guidance of the Buddhist teachers. You got the sannyasi dancing around, Tulsi acted like this. And then he fell down. He left his time. By Srila Prabhupada's grace, he came back to do the work after some time to leave his body. But, he went off on a tangent, I forgot where he came from.
Tried to explain how the question was about the perspective from Vrindavan, how it looks like it's not conjugal or these other.
Oh, that's right. That's right. And even now, for those devotees who are situated in Madhurya Rasa Vrindavan, you know, they may even say that Jamuna is Shantaras, or the trees are Shantaras. But there is no Shantaras in Vrindavan. So it's, you know, looking through different lenses of Brajras or Vaikuntha Bhakti. These are categorized differently accordingly. Now regarding Siddha Pranali, since it is something that's very important, Srila Prabhupada said, when you are ready for it, I will personally come and give it to you. So you don't have to go looking for it. It'll come looking for you when you qualify for it. Any other comments or questions?
And even though we live at a time of quarrel and prophecy, and we live separate from the chanting the names of Snowy. Can you talk to us more about endless chanting?
Very good point, thank you. The fenceless chanting. You know, when we list the 10 offenses to the holy name, we add at the end, it's also an offense to be attentive or chanting. That's not an addition after the 10. That's really the root of the 10. And the reason it's brought up after that is because in normal society, normal devotional society, it's just understood that inattentive chanting is offensive chanting. And it's the root of all other offenses. So. When you say there's no hard and fast rules, it's to encourage others to take up the chanting. But as we become serious, we realize chanting Hare Krishna is inviting Radha Krishna to dance on your tongue and enter your heart. How attentive would be if you realize what you're doing. And then, conversely, what separates us from the realization that Radha and Krishna are dancing upon our tongue in the form of Mahamantra? The obstacle to realization of that truth is nothing but offenses and material desires. So Srila Prabhupada encouraged everyone to take up the chanting. Because even if it's inattentive, even if it's like tonight, Lord Ganga appeared during the lunar eclipse, that's considered inauspicious. Rahu eclipses the benign rays of the moon. It's inauspicious. Not true definition. So what do devotees do in an inauspicious situation? They chant with more attention. So what was inauspicious materially became most auspicious spiritually. And the Muslims were also chanting in jest. The Lord first caused the advent of His holy name, and then within the midst of the kirtan during the moon eclipse, He appeared Himself. That was Dhamma Bhas. And Haridas Thakur explained, you know, answering Lord Chaitanya's questions, that when you chant the holy name, you know, meaning something else, referring to something like the Muslim who died chanting Haram, which means abominable, gored by a boar to death. He chanted Haram, means abominable. He attained liberation because it was Dhamma Bhas. So, you know, we can encourage others to chant under any conditions. There's no hard and fast rules because by Nama Bhas, you'll be liberated. But devotees don't want liberation. They want Krishna Prem. So as you chant and become a little purified, you realize how vigilant we have to be to guard against offenses, which is the most serious, and material desires, which Srila Prabhupada gave the example to answer the question, why does it take so long to realize Krishna Prem in our chanting? So he told Srila Prabhupada told the story of the yogi. They would travel around during the winter, immerse himself in ice-cold water and melting streams, the whole night, then they come out and take donations from his sponsors. So he performed his speech one night. In the morning he came for his donation, and the householder said, no, I'm not gonna give, because he cheated. That's what he meant. He said, you see that temple in the distance? On the top of the dome, there's a B-lab burner. He said, you cheated. You took heat from that gila to keep yourself warm throughout the night when you're immersed in ice water. You cheated, so I'm not going to pay you. And the master walked off, and the yogi went to his servant and said, that's not good. He's not keeping to his word. So the servant said, I'll take care of it. So the master told his servant, tomorrow we're going on a trip, so be ready to go bright early. The servant didn't show up. So the master went to his room. And so I had a really tall tripod with a chain in that pot this high above the floor. And on the floor there was a ghee lamp. There was a ghee lamp burning. And the master said, I told you to be ready to go. Why are you late? He said, I'm cooking my breakfast. In the pot, at this level, above the ghee lamp on the floor. And the master said, that's never going to work. You're cooking with smoke. He said, that's the point. What would the ghee lamp in the distance do to that building? Srila Prabhupada told us a story to explain how if you're chanting, and it's not to mean that we all have to be pure, because who can, you know, truthfully say they're free of material desires and offenses? It means you're sincerely trying to subdue them by Guru's grace and the holy name's potency. You can't just run with unbridled offenses of material desires. Because that is for you. Well, that same holy name will destroy you if you persist in your offenses. So realizing that chanting inattentively or with offenses and material desires is like trying to cook with smoke. You can say that with this fire, it may be, but it'll take a very long time. So Vaidhi Bhakti means be attentive to hearing the holy name, because that's the only means of purification. And when the distractions arise, and the anarchists in their heart revolt and retaliate. You've been controlling me for so long, and now you're bringing the holy name into the kingdom of your consciousness. And all lust, anger, greed, pride, illusion, envy just rears its ugly head to such an extreme that I didn't even know I had those things within me. It was humble. Become humble. And the example of Kaliya is just precious. In the prayers of Kaliya, Kaliya is praying to Krishna that, you know how formidable is the conditioning in the life of a serpent? Just conditioned to be angry, venomous. And he's praising Krishna that you're dancing on my hood, purifying me of all that venom. That's a precious inspiration for us. And what is the tongue like? The serpent. So prone to stop this venom. Keep Krishna dancing upon your tongue. Just like with Kaliya, he will in time extract all that poison, all that venom, all those offenses, all those material desires. And then what happens? The Nagapatnis who were praying for Kaliya to be delivered were so elated they went to their treasury to give their finest gift to Krishna, which Rupa Goswami says you're supposed to do. Offer your dearmost possession as a gift to Krishna. What's a dearmost possession? It's our false ego. Offer it in the fire of the holy name for Krishna's pleasure. Anyway, back to the Nagapatis. What happened when they went to the treasury to get their best jewel to offer to Krishna, and they found a jewel they didn't even know they had in the treasury? What kind of jewel was it? Kastuba money. Most precious of all. I mean, we have something in our hearts that's more precious than anything we can imagine. It's just covered. And how did Kastuba get in Kaliya's treasury? Kastuba combined effort of Purnamasi and Vrindavedi, who are Yogamaya and Braj. Because when Krishna left Kamsa's dungeon, carried by Vasudeva to Braj, he couldn't show up with his Kastubaja. That would spoil the whole Leela. Because the glory of the Vrijavasis is just like it says in this quote, but they don't know that Krishna is God. It doesn't mean I'm ignorant. It means their realization is so far above and beyond that, it is just eclipsed by the sweetness and beauty and charm that Krishna is your dear most friend. Child. The infinite lover. It's not that Aishwarya is absent in Braj. Aishwarya reaches its culmination in Braj. But it's covered and concealed under that beautiful veil of beauty, sweetness, and charm. And sometimes it keeps through a little bit. It adds some excitement to the Leela. Like when Krishna and Balaram want to take Prasad out of the sages in the forest. And Kambi Karnapur is describing this thing from an Aishwarya perspective. That Nanda Maharaj's village is actually a sprawling city with huge walls and aqueducts bringing water in from the mountains. And when those huge gates open, Krishna and Balaram ride out on golden chariots through the forest to deliver prasad to the sages. Where is that in the Bhagavatam? It's concealed under the sweetness, beauty, and charm. It's innocent. Playful. Coward way. Who won't even wear shoes unless Mother Yashoda could provide shoes for all 900,000 cows. That's only 900,000 pairs. Those cows are forceful. So when Mother Yashoda wanted Krishna to wear shoes and sandals, he said, if you make them for all the cows, I'll wear them too. So just kind of deal with it. So he goes barefoot. So where's this golden chariot? That's in the Aishwarya. Which is not absent in Braj, it culminates in Braj. It's usually just invisible. Or Mother Yashoda. You ate dirt, open your mouth, she sees all creation. Okay, close your mouth. Aishwarya finds its perfection in Braj, but it's usually concealed every now and then, like the sun filtering through the clouds to see a little illumination. Oh my God, he's the absolute truth. And then what happens? The spontaneous love, the Raghunuga, gets crippled, gets distanced, mandated by the rules and regulations of awe and veneration by which you have to serve God. And then Krishna gets all upset and he starts to cry and all illusion is dispelled. It will only be realized if we chant with attention and with vigilance to subdue the offenses and material desires, subjugate them to the powers that say the holy name, be transformed like Kaluga with Krishna dancing upon his heads, leaving nothing but pure love in his heart. Anything else?
Thank you, Maharaj. Every time you speak, I feel like you're taking me on a journey into this mysterious region of transcendence. And I keep falling off the boat because I don't have the subtle intelligence to grasp it. But, I just want to thank you and also ask you, why is it, like Prabhupada says that before Lord Chaitanya's appearance, And I think you mentioned this also, it was before Lord Chaitanya's appearance, there was only a Shantaras and Dasyaras. So my question is, if Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago, why was there that 5,000 year gap?
It's the same thing. First of all, Krishna's hard to understand because he appears in a form that's more natural than supernatural, more human than divine. So Krishna's difficult to understand regardless, but he definitely performs pastimes like the lifting of Govinda arrow that only God can do. So because of his Brajalila, civilized people do what they actually do. They worship him in awe veneration, Bhagi Bhakti, which only accommodates Shanta Dandasa. So even with Krishna's, even with the revelation of Krishna's Brajalila, nobody could attain this. Nobody could enter this. Nor could they ever without the gift of the holy name as given by Lord Chaitanya. Holy name given by Yuga Avatar, even by the Golden Avatar, in other Kali Yugas, will all be taken to Vaikuntha, where the ultimate rasa is servitude to Master Dasa. Krishna revealed these rasas, but he did not bestow upon the world a means to achieve it themselves. And that was his consideration why he had to come back as Lord Garanga, to be the giver of the gift that was already bestowed, but without a means to reach it. So in worship of the Lord as Mahaprabhu to Dasyaras by Vaidhi Bhakti matures, then the Sakya, Vasaya, Madhurya, and even above the Madhurya, the Ujjwala, the brightness, the highest of all, they manifest within your hearts by the grace of the All Name, as given by Lord Garanga, which is holy name in Madhurya, in comparison, holy name in Aishwarya, even in other yugas, and even all the other 999,000 other yugas, as in Aishwarya from holy name. Lord Chaitanya gave it in his Madhurya feature. And there were some exceptions and some retained Braj Rasa, the Shrutigana, the personified Vedas, or the Rishicharyas, the Rishis of Dantakaranya, when they saw Lord Ramachandra, the Rishis of Dantakaranya worshipped Lord Gopal. When they saw Lord Ramachandra, they saw these same person. And romantic emotions surged in their hearts. They wanted to consult with him in Madhurya. They said, no, I can't do that. Because I vow one wife only. He said, but in the future, your wish will be fulfilled. So there are exceptions to those who enter Braj. But they're so rare and they're so qualified souls to begin with. The personified Vedas, Rishicharya gopis. In general, there's no access but through Lord Chaitanya's grace. Right. Anything else?
Hare Krishna, Krishna Maharaj. Thank you so much for having me as a guest. Thank you for coming so far with your family. Whole family came from California for Gorbanin.
Oh, hey, Bo.
Thank you so much. I have two questions to ask. The first one is in the Brahma Samhita, I read that Lord Rama says that in Goloka Vrindavan, Lord Krishna is surrounded by thousands of goddess of fortunes. So I assume he's talking about the gopis. So then if they are also goddess of fortune and the Lakshmi is also goddess of fortune, so how could she not understand what gopis do and
go back to the songs of Sri Damodar during Lakshmi Vidaya. He made that comparison, and he's quoting, he's echoing Brahma's words to Sri Vasudeva in Vrindavan. The gopis are super goddesses of fortune, vast and surpassing the goddess of fortune. Gopi's fortune is love. Lakshmi's fortune is opulence. And Lakshmi. Nobody. There again, the Bhagavan Saraswati, he establishes that the gift of Lord Chaitanya, which four-dimensional intelligence can never know, which sages of the past can never conceive, which Shukadeva Goswami didn't reveal, and even Lord Krishna did not dispense. A realm beyond all that is where the devotees of Golokanda happily play. And Madhurya. And, you know, that's another topic that everyone in Braj, whatever their style body may be, there's no rasa in Braj that it is not at least tinged with Madhurya. That the prominent in rasa may be different. There is no Ras in Braj that is not free from Madhurya. So Brahma is talking about, he's talking about hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune serving with great care and attention Lord Krishna. Yes, that's gopis. Details added by Sri Dhanvar after he's echoing Brahma's prayers from Brahma Sananda, establishing the gopis are super excellent goddesses of fortune, bedecked with the jewels of Chintana, which gives the dust on the top.
The second question.
Please.
So anything which is above Dasya has happened with the help of Yoga Maya and Pramana.
It's Yoga Maya. You know, English is a very limited language. So you may translate Bhava as emotion. The bhava means feelings coming through the agency of Yoga Maya and not something of this world, something sending into this world through the agency of Yoga Maya, emotions from the spiritual world, awakening our hearts.
So these are these are the emotions coming through her, or so that means they are their own emotions but coming through her, not manifested by her.
The other way to appreciate that is there again, for us to imagine, okay, I'm going to be a Gopa after Krishna. Now, you can't do that. You know, it's not a matter of imagination. It's something that's already decided by Krishna. And then he delegates the yoga maya to work out the details, including through the agency of yoga maya, imparting those emotions to your heart. Because they don't come from this world. They come through the agency of yoga maya by the will of Krishna. And that's why we say, you can't simply tell Krishna that you know, I want to be cowboy. It's not our doing. It's His grace. Facilitated through Yoga Maya, who works out all the details, including the appropriate emotions and feelings to experience at various times.
Thank you so much.
Again, through the holy name, it can be revealed as well.
Yes. Everything's revealed through the holy name. That's the overriding dynamic. There's various specifics in that overriding dynamic of how it's done. But yes, it's a very important point for us to really take to heart today. Harinama, 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 the Kivan Kalona statement, the statement, the statement. What is Lord Chaitanya doing throughout his childhood, boyhood, and youth? I mean, his moods are ever changing, but the predominant role until the time he took initiation was professor. You know, from the time he became a student in Gangadas Pandit, who is from the Pranamuni Academy, Gangadas Pandit, he put him in charge of all the students, including those in classes way ahead of him. And because there's no subject that he wasn't a perfect master, but it was all secular. He would not talk about devotion during those years. So what is he doing and why? He's performing the lila of the Yuga Avatar, establishing Dharma, annihilating the miscreants, not physically but mentally. Because Navadvipa Dham, the emporium of culture and learning for all of creation, where all the sages of all branches of knowledge at the time of dissolution of the universe, they simply bore this great oak ark, which Matsya pulls it using Vasuki as a rope, and they all get off at Navadvipa, and the rest of creation is submerged. And then when creation again takes place, they, through the disciples, disseminate that knowledge throughout the world. It always exists eternally in Vidyanagar, Navadvipa Dham. So, as professor, Nimai Pandit, the wrangling smarta, contending Nyaya, who is just out challenging everybody on anything, because in Navadvipa, there was only one science that was not taught to its perfection, not to be best of Nyaya, which is the
monopoly of the pundits of Mittala, who would not allow their textbooks into the hands of the Bengalis, because they knew that they could take it to a different level and simply eclipse the glory of Mittala. So, some of them, but trying to overcome that challenge by going personally and studying and memorizing everything, coming back. And then the Navya Nyaya became the main field of knowledge and study and contest. Because like today, when people have contests, and what they do, football or cricket or whatever. But back then it was all intellectual contests. People would gather for intellectual contests. You know, pundits would challenge one another. And so Nimai, you know, as pundit, he didn't show any interest in bhakti. Just challenging everybody, any field of knowledge. And even his devotees would avoid him when they saw him coming. You'd see him out on the street like a lion, and all the other animals just disappear as he's defeated all contending philosophies to establish afterwards. And all of creation is no eternal substance and truth except the holy name. So after he took initiation, and all he could talk about was the holy name, his students thought, well, this is not what we went to college for. So they tried to trick him. The secular question, what is the meaning of gacha? Means verbal move. Because he was primarily a teacher of Sanskrit. What is doctrine, verbal move? Immediately, it has nothing but the glories of the holy name of Krishna. And then the whole day was nothing but the glories of the holy name. And he'd go into these ecstasies, and when they come out, he'd figure out, what did I say? How did I do anything inappropriate in the holy name? Did I answer your question? He told the student about doctrine. He said, you've answered everything. So the student closed his books. The other student said, push them aside. Okay. We accept that the Holy Name is everything. You haven't taught us how to serve the Holy Name. He said, you know, you can go anywhere, study under anybody. I can't teach you in this condition anything other than the glories of the holy name. So go to anywhere you like, you know, after studying under you, where can we go, and what can we learn? You establish that the holy name is everything. Simply teach us how to serve the holy name. He raised his lotus arms in the air and began chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And that kirtan drifted through the streets of Navadvipa. And then when it reached the ears of the Vaishnavas, they praised Krishna. Thank you for answering our prayers that someday he would become a devotee. Which is another kind of illusion. How could he become a devotee? He didn't reveal devotional sentiments until his initiation to protect that premise that this is by the grace of Guru that we receive Krishna and Krishna now. But throughout his baby child of youth and professor days, that love of God is growing in strength, power in his heart. Suppressing for the sake of honoring precept that is only by the grace of Guru that we receive Krishna. But the day of his initiation, it all came surging forth. Because he took his students with him to Gaya, ostensibly to perform Pinda, but really because Lokeshwara Puri was there, who he'd already selected as his Guru. Because of his exquisite Guru Bhakti towards Madhavendra Puri. As soon as you receive the mantra, that love and gathering strength within his own heart he could not conceal any longer, and it came surging forth as he was heard crying in a voice that was not his voice. Words that nothing. It was the voice and words of Srimati Radharani after Krishna, after Mathura. And Lord Gauranga heckling her son, "So Krishna, where have you gone after stealing my heart? I will go to Vrindavan to find you." And then back in the middle of the night, an unseen voice said, "My Lord, it's not our position to dictate to you. It's the demigods speaking. We can only remind you of your own mission, which will be completed in Navadvipa before you can leave to go to Vrindavan." That's an important point. The only access to Vrindavan is through Navadvipa. Meaning, our only access to Radha and Krishna is through Varnikai. And our only access to Varnikai is through His divine grace, through the Prabhupada. Brought
the gift to us. Thank you. Any other questions or comments?
Just one last question. On
that note, when you say that only by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada can you get the gift of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I was just wondering, because you know, all of Acharya was associated with Chaitanya. And one of his grand disciples was a devotee named Jamuna, who became known as Srimati Maharaji. And to come to the West, you know, Srila Prabhupada got her assistance. And I'm just wondering, I heard this story, I don't know if it's true or not, but I thought maybe you could, if it is, you could let us know that before granting Srila Prabhupada a ticket to come to the West, she went to her guru in the Balabha, Sambhadana, to ask what he thought. He said, "By all means." So I'm just wondering if that's true, if that has any significance.
I never heard that, but it very well be true. Anything else?
I want to ask. You said, Maharaj, that only Vrijavasis have the place in Krishna's heart. I'm not paraphrasing slightly. So, all these devotees who worship, you know, Vishnu, Lord Narayana, I guess they have a place in Narayana's heart, but not in Krishna's heart.
That's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is the core of Krishna's heart. The inner sanctum is reserved for Vrijavasis. And you can see that also in parallel in the kingdom of God, which is by Krishna. In that vast kingdom, where everyone worships in awe and veneration, he also has his forest retreat, where he resides with his intimate family members and lovers.
And that's not accessible to those who have a different mood. Now, it's within his power to, you know, favor any citizen like Krinta with that Prajapati and grant an entrance into the innermost chambers of his own pastoral retreat. But normally, the subjects of the king have no access to the playground of the Gopa, who knows no one but the Vrijavasis as his own within the core of his heart.
Thank you, Maharaj. I was hoping you might tell us something. Many of us are out in the material world in our everyday daily lives, having to work, family. And even though the desire is to try to act on the higher level of like sankirtan, many of us are in a realm on a daily basis where, due to our having to maintain a certain profile to keep our job, we can't just openly have to seek and distribute books. And even though we have some desire like this, many people have, they feel like a vacuum because they actively can't pursue that lifestyle. And then even on the mental platform, mental gymnastics can only carry us so far. I just wonder if you could say something about how those people in that realm can become more properly fixed.
One thing, people in general have a remarkable ability to detect a devotee even when they're dressed undercover style. and you know, there's no restrictions to how we can touch the heart of others. Because one who actually has love of God, who has such compassion and love for all jivas, and if we really embody those qualities, a lot of people can sense it, they can feel it. And if we're not in a position where we can outwardly preach, we still have creative opportunities to reach out and touch people in so many ways. You know, six loving exchanges, you know, your heart of confidence, receiving proper instructions, giving gifts, receiving gifts, offering prasad, receiving prasad. Just befriending people on a genuine, heartfelt level is such a privilege for souls in this world to experience that they will be so deeply grateful and want to know what you're all about if they sense those, that kind of kindness in your feelings. Krishna is very wonderful in the way he compensates for any legitimate deficiencies in our service. You may be situated in a job or something that's not so, doesn't seem so ideal. If we're actually attentive to ways and means to reach out to others, to touch their hearts, to establish a kind of friendship through caring and sharing that they're going to want to know what we're all about. You can find that you have actual advantages in those situations that other devotees may not have. And Krishna will arrange opportunities for you to share his message and help place people in your path who you can touch. You simply have that desire, that intention, and the proper guidance. Opportunities will come to you.
What does it mean, proper guidance?
Yes, what does it mean, proper guidance? You know, you can say that Krishna is Balagrahi, which he is. This is one of his names, and he accepts our intention. We also know that the path to hell is paved with good intentions, meaning our intentions were not guided by Guru Sarva Shastra. Proper guidance means Guru Sarva Shastra. Okay. Anything else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you so much for your wonderful class.
Thank you.
So, we listen sometimes when they say that Krishna is my friend. It's, sometimes somebody says, oh, this is Sahajiya, and you also you tell about the one example of Sahajiya. But also, many lectures of Srila Prabhupada, I remember one especially, I think in my heart, that he said that we are doing so much effort for my relationships in this material world, and just because of that, we should think always in Krishna, in a next life, like he will be my friend, he will be my son, or he will be my lover. This is Srila Prabhupada work. So what is the line between the sahajis and the bhakti we follow for think of Krishna or like a friend?
Sahaja means taking things cheaply. That through your imagination, through envisioning Krishna as your friend, child, or lover, you can actually cultivate a relationship based on that premise. Back to the Shuddha Prabodhana of the Saraswati's verse, in our Vaidhi Bhakti matures to Sri Sri Gauri Thai, then we'll read the same verse again, then the golden luster of Srimati's lotus feet dispels all darkness within the heart, reveals the path to Vrindavan, where your eternal form, function, and rasa will be revealed within your heart and simultaneously confirmed by Guru as being an authentic revelation in comparison to something fabricated through our mind and imagination. The realization of your relationship with Krishna, like in things within your heart in response to your chanting. And even at that elevated stage of devotional maturity, we still require blessings and confirmation from Guru to testify that this is a legitimate experience. Does that answer?
Yes.
The Guru is not on the planet in March, but in heaven also through some revelation from the Guru.
The Sri Guru is no longer present on the planets. He continues to interact with the disciple in various ways. Through the heart, and mainly through senior godmothers who have sufficient purity and realization for him to extend himself through. And that will also be confirmed by your own hearing your guru's voice coming through the words of another. There's no limitations in devotional relationships. When Guru is departed this world, he still keeps company with his disciples in as much as we abide by his instructions. He reaches hill, he tells the Vaishnavas die, never be still in sound. Vaishnavas die to live. And their life is seen spreading all over the ground. And Srila Prabhupada granted that experience to us in departing. He opened up another realm, the Bhakti Seva, in which he continues to interact with us internally and also outwardly. Through the words and actions of sincere devotees, and sometimes even through the words and actions of less than sincere devotees. Who by some circumstance are more perfectly situated to help us to hear the words of Guru coming through them. And it's part of as in Bhagavatam, the pastime, final pastime in the series of Purushana, the Garbhi. Preparing a funeral pyre for her husband. Husband is Guru, Vidarbha's disciple. And she finds there's a third person there. She doesn't really recognize. I'm your old friend. But you don't recognize me. You have some recollection of a time in the land with like two swans in the same way. You reside in the same heart. And Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that, first of all, when Guru lives, disciples should prefer to give up his or her life than to fail to follow his instructions. And conversely, if you are faithful in pursuing his instructions, then Paramatma continues to serve as Guru to guide you properly. So now, you know, Paramatma, both within and sometimes, you know, the outer manifestation of Guru as Paramatma will also take on different forms and work through different individuals. Extend his voice and influence to you, even after Guru has departed this world. Usually it's a combination of our love within the heart and sincere devotees in your association, who Guru sees as having sufficient purity and influence to continue conveying his instructions to you. Thank you very much. Shri Korpaneva Shikha.
Virginia.